It's the home of irreverent, cool, and entertaining talk. We say what we want.
Backtime knows there's good and bad in everything. So settle in as we explore the good and bad ideas that make up November 6th. In 1923, Jacob Schick was granted a patent for the electric shaver. In 1952, the first hydrogen bomb was exploded at Inuituk Atoll in the Pacific Ocean. And in 1985, male bunnies went to work at the Playboy Empire Club in New York City. I'll bet those bustiers were uncomfortable. Ooh. That's back time for November 6th. This is your announcer speaking.
Brendan's brother reports angrily that Brendan is so dead. It's the Onion Radio News. This is Doyle Redland reporting. Shortly after finding all of his magic markers uncapped, Brendan's brother announced to assembled reporters today that Brendan is a goner. Brendan's brother is planning a retaliatory barrage of wedgies, Indian burns, even the dreaded monkey bubble on Brendan until he is dead or at least wishes he was. Onion reporter Dan Reed is on the scene. Dan, what's the latest?
Well, Doyle, it's still too early to say, but at this point it does appear that Brendan has messed with his brother's stuff for the last time.
Thank you, Dan. At the time of this report, Brendan has sought asylum at his grandmother's house, bringing only the clothes on his back, his brother's Nintendo DS, and a week's supply of Lunchables. Doyle Redland for The Onion Radio News, online at theonion.com.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Non-Voting Political Complainer.
Mr. Non-Voting Political Complainer.
You've spent the last 9 months telling everyone who they should vote for. But when election day comes, you're at the Skin Shack, spreading your wealth to Diamond and Misty.
Is that your idea?
Then, you call your non-vote a political statement.
We call it a cop-out, yeah.
So the next time you hear people yammering on about how voting doesn't matter because they're all a bunch of crooks, peel your I Voted Today sticker off your shirt and slap it over the mouth of Mr. Non-Voting Political Complainer, a real American hero.
Mr. Non-Voting Political Complainer.
I vote for you go play in traffic.
From high atop the LA Talk Radio building, it's time for Sam and Susie in the Morning.
Sam and Susie in the Morning.
Right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, Susie.
Good morning.
And we are on Thursday, November 6th.
Is it nap time yet?
Well, well past the election. Do you believe the exhilaration in this country?
No, I definitely. It's pretty amazing.
This is amazing. I don't think anybody expected this.
I think everyone expected it.
You think so?
Absolutely.
Really?
Yes.
I don't know. I didn't. I mean, you know, I knew that people liked him and they were going to vote for him and stuff. I mean, I wasn't sure he was going to win, although it was pretty likely.
Mm.
But it's more than just electing a president. I mean, people are totally enamored with him, getting behind him and everything. It's amazing.
Let's hope he can come through for everyone. He's got a lot of pressure on him now.
He really does, and he has a lot of shit to fix, too.
And a lot of eyes on him.
Yeah. Wow, there's a lot to fix.
Yes, yes.
So they're getting a pet for the White House.
They're getting what?
A pet.
A pet?
Yeah, for the White House.
Oh, my God.
I guess it's part of the requirements there, you know?
Wait, to have a pet?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
No, I'm kidding. But almost every president has pets there.
Like an animal? Like a dog?
Yeah, like a dog or a cat or whatever.
I would have a lizard.
Oh, I'm sure you would. Would be the most famous one in the world.
I have a question for you. Yeah. What happens with Proposition 8? Now that it was, you know, voted against.
Yeah, they're probably going to take it to the Supreme Court now.
And we have a lot of conservatives on the Supreme Court.
Yeah, but it's probably going to go to the state Supreme Court first.
Oh, okay.
I think. Yeah, because it's a state law.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So basically they could take back other people's marriage, right?
They can nullify them maybe. I don't know what the hell.
Oh, that's so sad.
I know, it's terrible.
Oh, God.
It's terrible.
What a ridiculous thing.
I know. A lot of people seem to be surprised that it
actually. I totally forgot about this. Last night, my girlfriend's picked me up to go out in Hollywood last night for a girls' night out.
Yeah.
And we actually got stuck trying to get to our club in the middle of a parade for Prop 8.
Really?
Not a parade, a protest.
A protest demonstration.
It was a huge demonstration. They like swarmed our car. We couldn't move for probably like half an hour.
Really? Mm-hmm. Where was that, in West Hollywood?
I do believe so.
Gee, I wonder why.
I wasn't really driving. I had my wine in a water bottle, my road soda.
You did?
Yes.
So where did you go?
You know what? That's kind of a good question, too.
Don't we have a whole bunch of good questions today?
Oh, man. Well, I think it was a new club that's attached to Avalon called Bordeaux or something, or Bordat, or I don't know. Mm. Something like that. So basically, I have no idea where I was last night. No idea.
Why would that... So you were that fucked up before you even left the house?
Well, I was pretty exhausted yesterday. And then after being in school all day... and then I didn't eat dinner. That always does it for me. Getting drunk really quickly. And I didn't eat dinner because we had to dissect a fucking sheep heart in biology class.
A sheep heart?
Yes.
How disgusting.
I know.
Why do they make you do that?
I don't know.
You really have to know that shit?
Seriously. We've got this whole chapter on like the heart and, you know, our circulatory system and all this other shit. And so they think to kind of like demonstrate and drive their point home, we should dissect the fucking heart. I don't want to dissect the heart. It's gross.
I would have fucking thrown up right there.
It's in formaldehyde. And I had my chicken soup that I had made yesterday. And I'm sitting there looking at the chicken. And ooh, it kind of looked like the muscles of the heart. And I was just like, whoa. So needless to say,
maybe you'll become a vegetarian again.
You know what? I've been contemplating that.
Really?
Yes, I really have.
Why?
Just because of the quality of the meat around here. And I mean, unless you can go to Whole Foods and really like spend a lot of money or go to a good butcher, like you really don't know where your meat's coming from. And just like the whole thing on Prop 2, it just kind of makes you wonder. It makes you think about these things.
Yeah.
I don't know. And then looking at those sheep hearts, ew. And then the whole lab was just like, okay, no sheep were harmed in the you know... acquisition of these hearts.
Right.
No sheep were fucking harmed in the acquisition of these hearts.
Well,
are you kidding me?
They were probably dead.
Ew.
When they got it.
Well, I know, but they were killed for their hearts and for their food.
How
like
do you...
for the meat. Because they said they were gotten at a place where they actually, you know, that doesn't really make sense.
What if the sheep just died? I mean, natural causes.
But they didn't die of natural causes. They said the sheep hearts were obtained from a butcher.
Oh, I see.
Who eats sheep meat anyway?
Lamb.
Ew.
It's perfect.
Oh, I hate lamb.
I love lamb.
I sleep with a stuffed lamb every night. I've had it since I was born.
Well, I would eat.
My little
lamby.
You
still with a stuffed animal? Uh-huh. Wow.
My Blinky and my lamby.
That's hilarious.
Thank you very much.
What is it with women? I mean, you're 26 years old, for
Thank
crying
you.
Out loud.
Yes. I don't know.
So, right?
It's comforting.
Yeah.
The poor fucking lamb, though. I mean, it's got its two blue eyes, and then it's so dirty. Even though it's clean, I wash it all the time.
Yeah.
But you know, it's just so dirty from time.
Uh-huh.
That the whole thing's kind of like gray and brown now. But if you open its little ear, it looks like kind of a vagina, actually, if
really?
The way you pry it open.
But you know what I'm thinking? I mean, it's actually pretty neat you have something from way back when.
Yes. But if you open its ear, I mean, it literally looks like
it
you're
looks
prying
like
open
a vagina.
The inside is so pink and pristine and clean and virgin. And the thing's got like one arm missing because my dog bit the arm off. And you don't even know how shredded this poor little thing is.
Yeah.
But
wow. Now, yeah, what happens when you have a man in your bed?
I knew that was going to be the next question.
He must get to know me pretty well.
Yes. Actually, I was going to tell you that the man actually, you know, he'll have to cuddle me from behind because I always have to have my blingy lamb in my arms.
And still, okay.
Yes.
So you have no problems with that?
Nope.
Oh, cool.
I've got blingy lamb in one arm and the boyfriend in the other.
Cool.
It works out perfectly.
The shit people put up with.
Sometimes men actually have gotten jealous of my stuffed animal.
What?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah. And they've actually tried to like take it out of my bed and like hide it or like put it in the bathroom like under a shelf or something.
Really?
And that way I can't find it at night. And I'm just like, uh-uh. I'm like, where are my babies?
You don't think they just did it as a joke or something?
No.
To hide it from you?
One time when I was in the military, actually, when I was a security holdover, mm-hmm. I had my Blinky and my Lammy, and they actually let me keep them in the military.
Wow.
Which is kind of nice of them. I'm surprised they weren't like, Raleigh, you're a pussy. But luckily they did not do that. But my male soldier friends, It's hard. I'm sorry. It's hard. It's hard being hungover, Sam.
Yeah, it's hard to talk.
It's very hard to talk this morning. But yeah, so anyway, my male friends actually stole my Blinky and my Lammy in the military, and they were missing for like 3 days, and I was freaking out. But so all of a sudden, I started getting like a trail of pictures. I would get a different photograph on my bed every day, like a Polaroid. Uh-huh. One of them was Lammy hanging with a noose around her neck. And the other
one, that's the best fucking joke.
Are you kidding me? I was so livid. And then the other one was a picture of the guy like slamming.
It's like we got him as hostage.
They had him as hostages. The other picture was one of like Lammy with her head in the freezer with the door being like bashed on her head. I'm not thinking this is very funny.
I think it's hilarious. I can see these guys doing this out of fucking boredom, you know?
Totally out of boredom. Like, we were all stuck there as security holdovers, and, like, you know, people had been there, like, up to 2 years, just in limbo, having nothing to do. And so, like, these are the things that people come up with.
Yeah, these are our soldiers, huh?
These are our soldiers.
No, come on. I'm sure most of them are not like this.
No, I'm sure most of them are.
Thank goodness.
And another one, we had, like, our M16A2 rifles that we had to, like, go and do roving guard duty with. And the other Polaroids were of, like, Lammy, like, with an M16 in her mouth. Fuck you.
I think this is the funniest thing, Susie.
Oh my god. I actually think I still have the pictures.
Really?
Yes.
You'll have to bring them in. I bet you it's the funniest thing.
It's actually really sad because you've got Lammy like all dirty with her pretty blue eyes and like her half-eaten arm that the dog bit off.
I know.
Like I have nail polish like for her mouth because her mouth fell off. So I like painted on these like lips with the nail polish. It's really.
You're out of control, Susie.
God, that was probably like 6 years ago.
Yeah.
Wow. God, how time flies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. So you just found out that Gretchen Bonaducci won that game?
Yes.
Wow. I'm extremely disappointed.
I know. That's a big bummer. We really wanted Tracy to win.
Yeah.
But
I mean, look, she's big. You know, she can do a lot of different things.
And did you believe how many reality shows she's done?
Who, Tracy?
Yeah.
No.
I could not believe that when she was telling us how she's been on this one and that one and blah, blah, blah.
Oh, okay.
Like, she's done, like, probably 8 or 9 of them.
Really?
Yes. Everything from, like, Fear Factor to the one with...
Yeah, she did say Fear Factor.
Yeah, to the one with Ron Jeremy.
Yeah, the Surreal World.
Surreal World or whatever that one is. Yeah. Then a whole bunch of other ones, she said.
Yeah.
She's like a reality show queen.
Surreal Life, maybe. Surreal Life, I think.
Some one of those things.
Yeah. Who cares? I've never seen it. Never seen it.
Me either.
But I guess that show is really with all a bunch of weirdos. So I don't see how Tracy ended up in there.
They kind of like to throw in like the big boobed, kind of like ditzy one.
I suppose.
You know, just for effect. You gotta have it.
Yeah, yeah. So listen, we're gonna have a phone guest in a little bit.
Okay.
And I think you're gonna really dig her because she does things. Crazy things like you.
Okay? Really?
But yeah, yeah.
Now, what you're really do I do that's so crazy? That. I do nothing jump that's crazy.
Jump off of airplanes and do bungee jumping.
Normal people do that on every day.
They do?
Yes. Shut up.
Oh, man. Oh.
All right, so what is this guest famous for?
She's into, I think, extreme sports and shit. Okay. You know, like adventure. She calls herself Adventure Girl.
Ah.
Yeah. So it seemed pretty awesome, and I bet you can talk about Australia and shit, although you haven't been.
I know, right? But I have Australian bearded dragons. Is she from Australia?
No, I don't think so.
Then why would I be able to talk about Australia with her?
Because I think she goes there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Excuse me, God.
We're both coughing this morning.
Yeah, let's take a little break. We'll be back right after this.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Non-Voting Political Complainer.
Mr. Non-Voting Political Complainer.
You've spent the last 9 months telling everyone who they should vote for. But when election day comes, you're at the Skin Shack, spreading your wealth to Diamond and Misty.
Is that your idea?
Then, you call your non-vote a political statement.
We call it a cop-out, yeah.
So the next time you hear people yammering on about how voting doesn't matter because they're all a bunch of crooks, peel your I Voted Today sticker off your shirt and slap it over the mouth of Mr. Non-Voting Political Complainer, a real American hero.
Mr. Non-Voting
I vote for you go play in traffic.
Okay. I played it again because I thought it was really cool.
I know. I was like, wait a minute. Didn't we just hear that?
Yeah. Well, I had to quickly find something so we wouldn't start coughing all over the place, you know? So.
Yes, I can't stand when I go out like to clubs and stuff. I end up just smoking so much.
Yeah.
And then my lungs just feel like shit the next day.
Yeah, they really do.
Oh, you know? God.
And I smoke all the time and they feel like shit all the time.
You really don't know what it's like to have them feel really, really good, Sam. How long have you been smoking for?
I know. Off and on for a very long time, since my teen years. But, you know, I've been off cigarettes for like at a stretch of 5 years or something.
And you went back to them?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
So there's no hope.
No, because it's just like any other addiction, I think. Once you're that, you're always that. You know? Once you're a smoker, you're always a smoker. You can be a dry smoker, like a dry drunk or dry alcoholic, but...
Ah,
yeah,
but it's always there.
I think the seed is always there.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, look, TJ was saying the other day that he used to smoke a lot, and it was the hardest thing for him to do is to quit. And a year later, he says he still would love to have a cigarette.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I know. Anyway, my phone is ringing as always.
Why don't you put it on non-vibrate?
That's true. You know, I need to think about that. I'm just used to always going from, just always keeping it on vibrate. So,
No comment.
Yeah, well, it's not vibrating anything essential there. Anyway, we're going to call our guest for today, who is an author. His name is Benjamin Gilad. And I'm going to ask him if he's Israeli, because that's Gilad is pretty much an Israeli name.
Okay.
So, or maybe he's just Jewish, like one of us. And or speak for myself.
Speak for yourself. I was like, wait a minute.
This is a business book called Business War Games, How Large, Small, and New Companies Can Vastly Improve Their Strategies and Outmaneuver the Competition. Now, we don't normally bring business books here and stuff, but I thought...
We've been bringing a few lately.
Yeah, well, I guess so, yeah.
We've had a whole bunch on...
With sort of like implications on personal life, though, and stuff like that, you know. But
yeah.
We may have some... I've had some business people, but it wasn't necessarily business books. But I thought this one was cool because I like the title. I want to find out what business war games are. And, you know, and it also applies to small companies.
You sunk my battleship.
Yeah. All right. So let's go ahead and call our guest and we'll find out exactly what business war games are. And it's pretty cool. I just find it interesting that someone who's probably Israeli is using... The word war games
in
the title. Hello?
Hello.
Yes, good morning. Is this Benjamin?
Yes, it is.
Yes, good morning, Benjamin. This is
Hi, Ben.
Yes, this is Sam and
Hello.
Susie calling.
Sam and Susie.
Yes. How are you?
Have you been listening to the show?
You guys in California somewhere.
We're in California. We're exactly in Los Angeles.
Okay, and we are exactly in Florida.
Oh, you're in Florida. And it sounds like you have an accent just like mine. You must be from Israel too, right?
You're kidding. You're from Israel?
I'm from Israel, absolutely. So I was going to refer to you as Benjamin Gilad, but I figured, you know, nobody's going to understand. So we'll go with Benjamin Gilad.
So this is actually not Sam Hasson, it's Sam Chasson.
Chasson, there you go. You see, he knows. He knows. Now you know. You see, the secret is out now.
I've got my Jews ganging up on me here.
Yeah.
Usually it's the women and the New Yorkers.
Very good at ganging up.
Yeah. Two Jews in one room, too much. So, how long have you been here, Benjamin?
On and off, about 25 years.
25 years, wow. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, and I still, you have much better accent than I do.
Well, because
I'm trying, but.
Yeah. I know, it's very hard, but you know what? I came here when I was 16, so it was, I guess, a little easier. You know.
That's the difference, right?
Yeah,
I came here fully formed. But
fully formed. There you go.
Yeah, fully formed.
So, I mean, you've had education here at the States and everything. I see you have a PhD and stuff. You went to Rutgers University?
No, I was a professor at Rutgers.
Oh, you were a professor there. I'm sorry.
I got my PhD at NYU.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
Wow. So we got a...
I call it NY Jew.
that's what we called it, but I didn't know if it would be offensive to the Californians.
No.
They don't take offense to me at all.
Nothing is
offensive. No. This is politically correct country, you know.
But definitely not...
Be very careful.
But it's not a politically correct show, you see. You got to understand where you are. Yes. So at any rate, you know, I wanted to get to your game. You wrote a very intriguing business book that I was interested in, and I wanted to learn a little little bit about. You called it business war games.
Right.
So let's talk about the title. I'm sure you're people address that quite a bit. What does it mean? What is business war games?
It's actually not what it sounds like, but it conjures, I guess, intuitive sense for most people. People know what war games are. I mean, they have this image of moving little toy soldiers in a sandbox and trying to think like the enemy, etc. And this is the essence of any war gaming. It's role-playing yourself against your opponents. Business war games, unlike the military war games, are actually not about war, because business is not war, unless you're a cowboy and you like these metaphors, and I'm not. And it's not a game. I don't believe in game theory, and I'm an economist, so I don't believe in mathematical formulation of a war game. So it is basically role-playing your company, role-playing your competitors, trying to understand what drives them, trying to understand their character, mm-hmm. and then coming up with a strategy that will actually succeed against what they are likely to do in the market.
I see. So you sort of like anticipate your competitors' moves and have something ready for them when they do.
Exactly. I knew you were an Israeli. You're too smart.
Yeah, too smart for you, huh?
Yeah, this is exactly what it is. You have to predict what they'll do, anticipate it in advance, and be ready with your strategy when they come out with theirs.
Right, right. Now, now with this work, I mean, this book is probably obviously for every size of business, right?
Yes.
Every size of company
right.
stuff. So, like for example, I know that ever since we started the station, now I look around on the internet and everybody's trying to copy us, you know? So, but I don't have a strategy for that. What would you, you know, I guess you have to have sort of like a competitive advantage where people will have a hard time copying what you're doing.
Exactly. The essence of strategy is a unique position with trade-offs, as we call it, trade-offs to the competition. If they want to do the same thing, they will find themselves in all kind of different difficulties, either because of their management, because of their nature, because of the culture. So it is a unique position that's hard to imitate. But you shouldn't worry, guys. I mean, come on. You're way better than anybody else because you are interviewing me, so that's not an issue.
You see? There we go, yeah. Israelis are not modest, Susie. You have to
realize
trust
that. Me, I know.
Oh, no. You think she just discovered it now.
Uh-huh. Sweetheart, I work with you on a daily basis. You think I don't know these
right,
things?
Come on.
You wanted to know yesterday why I didn't give you a compliment about the song you wrote and sang?
Uh-huh.
I don't want your head to get any bigger.
I see. Okay, yeah, you told me that.
Oh, it's impossible. Any bigger, it explodes on all of us.
Yeah. So
but you're right. It's really the book was written actually as an antidote to all those big consulting firms that run those huge war games for either the Pentagon or for the big corporation, and they charge millions. My book is actually aimed at any manager who needs to actually do something and needs to anticipate the reaction in the market to what he's going to do. So this is a book with a hands-on, even to a manager of a radio station who comes up with a new marketing plan or comes up with a new theme, and he has to go through thinking, okay, what will the market or how will the market react to make the plan that he or she have to make them at least competitor-proof as much as possible.
Right, right. This, yeah, I mean,
this can be translated into the dating world too.
Yeah, I think so. Give us an example, Susie.
Well, I don't know. You've got to like anticipate like the guy like, well, do you think he likes me? Is he going to call me? Like, what should I do first? You know, like, well, should I? You got to plan your whole strategy and like figure out what you're going to do next.
Yeah, that's
you're
called game playing.
Correct. When you think about role playing, we do it in our daily life everywhere, and some people actually do it in the bedroom. You know, you dress like a sailor, or she dresses like a sailor.
I don't know where you come from. We don't.
I like where he comes from.
Yeah. You like the sailor thing.
Ooh, it might be kind of nice.
Yeah. So now, how long? So you are a professor. Do you still teach over there at Rutgers?
No, I had to make a decision: money or fun, and I made the money decision.
Oh, uh-huh. Wow, I see. Okay.
Right. I was a professor at Rutgers for 18 years. I taught in the business school. I taught undergraduates. I taught graduates. I loved it. But the pay scale was a typical state university pay scale. And when the opportunity arises, I started my own school. It's called the Academy of Competitive Intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
It's more profitable. It's not as much much fun. They mm-hmm. don't look at you with those big eyes when they're 18 anymore.
Aww.
But yeah, but I can provide for the family better.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. But at least you got it out of your system. You know, 18 years is plenty of time to teach.
Oh, I
and,
love teaching.
You know,
come on,
yeah.
I love teaching. Just let me teach. Just put me in front of anybody. I don't care.
Really?
Monkeys, just let me teach.
Well, there you go. So you found your calling in life, you know, and that's
yes,
that's amazing.
Exactly.
Well,
now,
you're still teaching through your book, so.
Yeah, yeah. Is this the first book you've written?
No, it's the seventh.
The seventh
wow.
book?
Right.
Impressive.
I wrote the first six Harry Potter. It's just not my
oh,
name.
Oh, you wrote Harry Potter. Shit. I didn't realize
I'm surprised
who.
You didn't hear about me.
Yeah. I didn't realize who we were speaking to here. Wow.
He's funny, too.
I wrote a professional book. I wrote a book called Early Warning. I wrote a book called Business Blind Spots. Mm-hmm. They all deal with the same type of topics, which is how can management see what it doesn't naturally see in the market. How can anticipate what the market will do?
Right. So, and all this information and experience that you've gained, that was from actually running businesses or from teaching. How did you come up with all this knowledge?
It's a combination of so many different backgrounds. I'm very eclectic. When I was in Israel, I was actually police intelligence. I was, you might know the name is the Central Department in Tel Aviv,
right.
detective. So right. I was a police intelligence. I ran.
You see, I told you he's got some military background with a title like
well,
that for the
police,
book.
It's police, not military. Yeah. It's police.
No,
I
know.
A detective. I was
Oh, you were a police detective.
Yeah.
Interesting.
An intelligence officer on the police.
I see. Okay.
So that was one area. And then I became a professor and I studied strategy and I taught strategy. And when you marry intelligence and strategy, wargaming is a natural realization of both. So I came across it when I was teaching competitive intelligence to corporations, and I realized if you have the intelligence, all you need to do is to run a war game to actually stress test your strategy, and this is how it was born.
Wow, it's amazing. And how long does it take to write a book like this, Benjamin?
3.5 months.
Wow,
three
you're
and
fast.
3.5 months, that's
and
it?
And then it takes 1.5 years to try to actually get all the typos and errors out of it, which I never do well very well.
So. Oh, all the
but
proofreading.
Actually, I write very quickly in very short time.
Yeah, and I would imagine it's also because you're so immersed in this topic. This is your life, so it you don't have to sit there and
it
do a lot
flows.
Of...
It
yes, not a lot of right. outside research, I would imagine. A lot of it
no,
comes
nothing,
from your
nothing.
Head.
Everything comes from actual games I ran for Fortune 500. I've been doing it for 20 years. So it's just a matter of which anecdotes I include and how do I actually disguise the nature of some of the companies I worked with. But I didn't have to sit and think, whoa, what do I do next?
Wow. But this is amazing. So, I like the idea of war games and that. So, I mean, this is like, is this how you approach it when you go to clients? You say, you guys need a strategy of some war games here to play in the business world?
Actually, I never approach clients. They approach me.
Oh, wow.
They hear about me. I teach the course on... I have a public course on how to run a war game up in Boston with my company, the Academy of Competitive Intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
And we get hundreds of corporate managers coming through the course. And then they usually contact me after a while and say, you know, we want to try running it with this company and we want to bring you in because the first game is always very difficult. We want to see how to work it. And then I run the game for them and they can take it on and they can do it themselves. They don't need to hire me and surely they don't need to hire any other consultant after that. So it saves them a lot of money in the future. But I never actually sold anything or marketed anything. They come to me.
That's nice. That's nice. That's an enviable position that I think every
it
businessman
is,
would like to
me,
be.
It is. I'm completely happy that I don't have to actually go out there and try to sell anything. Israelis are not very good at selling, you know that.
I don't know about that.
You buy it. We don't ask. We say, you buy it.
Yeah. Just,
you know what? My dad's always made comments. He's in the construction business, and he always used to say he hated working with the Israelis.
Why is that?
I don't know why. But I guess because they're
why.
Kind of pushy, and because like they don't like ask, like, would you like this? They tell him, and he's like, all right, no one tells me what to do.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? I mean, my kids always say that Israelis need some sensitivity training. You know? But it's the culture, you know? I mean, what are you going to do, you know? You're in a very small area with a lot of people, you know, and
you would think you would be sensitive in a situation like that.
I don't know. You just sort of try to make some space for yourself and move on, you know?
I don't know. I look at it from the positive point of view. I mean, the Israelis might be considered pushy, but they are also very straightforward. I mean, they put the cards on the table. You don't get bullshit from them.
Right, exactly.
So especially when I work with corporations, I'm amazed at how little honesty there is, how much window dressing, how people dance around issues. I come there, and I put the elephant on the table. Mm. And for many companies, this is the first time they actually confront some of the issues that they were dancing around for so many years. So there are good things to the pushiness. I mean, if you're not rude, and I'm not rude, but if you just take it to the, I'm honest, guys, this is what you buy and this is what you get, people can benefit from it.
Yeah.
So your father...
It's like being a New York City driver. It's like being a driver in New York City. If you're not aggressive, if you don't like know where you need to be, you know, you're never going to get there. You're going to have all the other cars like push you around.
That's true. Yeah. The only problem with the analogy is all the drivers in New York are probably from areas that don't speak to Israelis very well.
Absolutely. Well, Benjamin, you've been very entertaining. But thank you so much for taking the time to be with us.
Of course.
I'm definitely going to finish reading the book. Give us a link or two where we can go and find the book or find out more about your company. I must say that, let's see, what was the name of your company again? Academy of Competitive Intelligence. You're very good with names.
The link is very simple. Yeah, the link is GiladWarGames.com.
GiladWarGames.com. And Gilad is G-I-L.
You would say Gilad, but I don't think it makes any difference in the spelling.
No, only if you put an apostrophe there. But
exactly,
it is Gilad. Yeah, so Gilad is G-I-L-A-D. And
WarGames.com, and they find everything there.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Very nice.
And I want to find out more about you. Maybe we'll speak personally sometime.
I'll be happy.
Yeah, you're a fascinating person, and all the best to you with the book. Congratulations. And
thank you, guys.
I would imagine
enjoy
people
talking to you.
Sure,
thank
and
you.
I would imagine we can find this at Amazon and bookstores and so forth.
Of course.
Absolutely. Well,
thanks,
again,
guys.
Good luck with it, and all the best to you, Benjamin.
Bye, Ben.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Susie. Bye-bye, Sam.
Bye. You know, very sweet person, huh?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, you see, and I love it with the accent when the accent is still there.
So strong.
Yeah, because it sort of like make them. Because I'll tell you what it is. It's you take a very intelligent man,
very intelligent, yes.
Right? And yet sometimes you struggle with the language and try. You know, so it's almost like you're looking at someone who's still not fluent in the language,
mm-hmm.
trying to explain some sophisticated things to you.
Yes.
But he's got a total command of the language. It's just that you know, and most Israelis do. You know, over there at well, at least when I was a kid, at fifth grade, you already required to start learning English, you know, so most Israelis, if you go to Israel, you start speaking to someone in English, most
everyone
likely, yes, and
saying.
They'll answer you, you know, might be broken English, might not be perfect, but they'll understand, you know.
That's so
that's
crazy.
Why, yeah, I think Israel is the 51st state. That's what we tend to say sometimes, you know.
Oh.
But
no, it was interesting listening to you talk to him because your accent came out a little bit more.
I know. You see, and that's what I was telling you the other day. I think ever since I married my wife and we speak Hebrew all the time, I think it's affected my English because I used to be so fucking fluent. I mean,
you
for
are fluent. Alone,
32 fucking years, you know, but I sometimes get stuck. I don't know. But
no,
yeah,
but,
it's
no,
true.
It's so cute. It's like if you put like two New Yorkers in a room together, they're going to be like, oh my God, let's go get some coffee.
I know. You know.
Or if you're in Boston, it's like, oh, the car? Okay, let's go over there, the car.
Yeah, I know. And when I was actually in my 20s, I had a lot of black friends. So when I would be around them, I'd start talking like them, you know. So you can imagine
like
talking
people?
Like... Yeah, so
Sam.
Talking like a black guy with an Israeli accent.
Oh, no.
You can imagine what.
How does a black guy with an Israeli
disaster.
Accent sound? I need to hear an example of this.
I don't know. I don't remember. I wouldn't even attempt it.
Oh my God, nigga, what?
Shut up.
Nigga, hava nagila yo.
You're fucking wild.
I'm so sorry. No, I'm not.
About what?
Oh, just, I don't know, always ragging on you for being Jewish.
No, I love it. I love it. Are you kidding?
Oh, God,
that's
it cracks
some
me
of
up.
The funniest stuff, you know?
That and my lammy like being headbanged in the freezer.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe you think that's funny.
I think it's fucking hilarious. You know, to find pictures. I mean, think about it. This is like what they do in comedies, you know? It's like you get pictures of your fucking stuffed animal and... Like it's being hijacked or something, kidnapped,
no.
And ropes around it and shit.
The noose was so awful. Oh, my goodness.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Mm. So tell us more about last night. So you don't really remember where you were?
Well, I think it was the same place that I was Saturday, but only a different part of it, if I remember correctly. And my girlfriends that I went out with, they both actually work there. As one is a bartender and one is a cocktail waitress.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a new job for them. So we ended up going there because we wouldn't have to pay for drinks or anything.
Yeah.
And we just pretty much went out dancing and I don't know.
Really? What about guys? No guys around?
You know what? I think it was mostly like we really were just kind of into each other.
Mm,
and not nice. In the way that you're thinking.
I'm not thinking. I'm totally.
I'm not thinking.
I'm totally understanding
my
what you're saying.
My mind is a complete blank slate.
Yeah. Well, we got a phone call. Let's see who that is. Good morning. You're on the air with Sam and Susie.
Morning. This is Sam.
Yes.
Hi, Sam.
Oh, this is Sam.
Hey, Susie.
Sam from Hard?
Yes, it is.
Oh, wonderful. Okay. I'm glad you finally called.
Okay, so this is the Persian guy or Persian American. Okay,
Persian
let's
American.
Give him the respect he deserves. And you guys met the other night, right?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. where did you meet? Remind us, because many people may not have heard.
Where did I pick you up?
Yeah, where?
Well, this cougar picked me up at a rave called Hardfest. It was at the Shrine right next to the UCLA University.
Oh, wow. What were you doing at a rave?
Well, I'm really into the music, and I spin a little bit of electro house music myself. Mm-hmm. I'm a music lover.
Oh, wow.
Let's just say I don't go for the drugs. I just go for the music and the girls.
Oh, I see. Okay, so you definitely found the girl there. And
I found him.
Oh, you found him?
Yes.
I see.
Wait. I literally fell into his lap, I think.
Really? What did you think when you first met Susie? I mean, did you like go like, what the fuck's going on here? I mean, this chick is like out there.
Well, I was just walking around. I had like 20 people I was hanging out with, my cousins and my sister, everybody including. I was just walking around and I saw this girl with like two other girls sitting on the floor and they were getting a light show from somebody, so I just thought I'd sit down right next to her and enjoy the light show a little bit. And next thing you know, we just started talking. And she asked me if I was going to give her a back rub. I was like, hell yes.
Yeah, you see, what the fuck, man?
Yeah. It was like,
yeah, you don't see
like
chicks like this.
Right.
Yeah. You don't get chicks like this every day, huh? When they just walk up to you and like, yeah, rub my back, you know, or whatever.
Yeah, it was really weird because like right off the bat, we just clicked. And like, I really like the way her personality actually.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's very sparkling.
Who doesn't? Yeah. Yeah, but remember, she breaks hearts, man. You gotta be careful.
Hey, you know, I do not.
You know don't, what? Huh?
I was afraid of that. I don't know her that well yet, but hopefully we'll get to.
Yeah, and besides, look, the thing is this, is that if you view this as you're not going to get married, okay, here's an opportunity to meet a girl. Whatever happens, happens, you know? And if she dumps your ass one day, you just move on, you know?
Exactly. I'm not planning on getting attached because I'm sure that's not what she's planning on too.
Well, you don't know that. She's she's pretty into relationships, you know, with the right guy. And she seemed to like you a lot.
Is that true, Susie?
Yes. Actually, I had a very good time hanging out with you. I really did. I drove to
Wait,
Long.
Does that mean we're still on for dinner tonight?
Are you still coming up to take me out to dinner?
Of course.
Yeah, only if you pay.
Only if I pay. Well, I do owe her because she did pay for my entrance for Avalon on Saturday morning.
Yes.
Which turned out to be a disaster. I hated that place.
That's actually
Every
where I was last night.
This girl, like, what's that?
I actually was there last night.
Yeah, I just heard you say that on the radio. Are you hungover?
I'm very, 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 very hungover.
Yeah, she barely made it.
I think I'm still drunk, actually.
Yeah, I really preferred that we went somewhere else on Saturday morning. Hint, hint, your place. But
there you go.
The main reason was because
that'll come too. But let me tell you, man, you gotta be careful with Susie. Don't have high expectations as far as to when you're gonna get laid. Just sort of like, just let her
what
lead.
What is that supposed to mean?
What it's supposed to mean is you tease a lot of people, but you don't necessarily go to bed with all of them, okay? And I've told you before, okay, guys figure, oh, she's really nice, blah, 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 she's open, rub my back, blah, 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 next thing, you know, rub my clit.
I did more than just have my back rubbed by this gentleman.
Well, I know, but that's how it started.
We were doing some dirty, dirty, dirty dancing.
Really?
Dirty dancing.
Oh, I'm
like
sure.
People,
yeah,
are...
Susie's a little crazy. Actually, not a little. I would say she's really, really crazy.
Yeah, that's what
Why? Why am I crazy? I just don't understand.
In a good way. In a good way.
Well,
okay.
Of course. Of course. What are you going to say? She's crazy nuts?
To a girl, I got a slap in the face.
Yeah, but that's definitely an adjective that most anybody that knows Susie will say. And Susie, you're asking why crazy? Because you do unusual things.
Well, why are they unusual? Like, he was at the rave doing exactly the same things that I was doing.
I don't think so.
Yes, he was.
I think that's why we clicked. Actually, I like that thing about Susie, because she does crazy things.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not going to do this when we're 35 years old, right?
Maybe. Speak for yourself.
I don't think Susie's ever growing up, man.
No, I am. I'm calming down even in my old age right now.
Yeah?
Yes. I am. I really am.
I don't think so.
So he's the... Oh, wait. Sam on the radio... Or Sam on the phone. Are you Islam? Or... Muslim.
Muslim. Background-wise, my family is, but I'm just a free-spirited person. I take bits and pieces from every religion and just apply it to my life.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
actually, this
cool.
is why I want to call in and clear this up. The other day, on Monday, I remember Susie said something about, don't tell Sam I'm Muslim or something because he might hate me. Now, I think you misunderstood me on that. That's not what I meant at all.
Yeah.
Oh, what did you mean?
Plus, a vast majority of the Persians that live up in L.A. are all Jewish.
Right. Right, many of them are. Right. Not only that, but
Persian
the thing is,
Jews, Australian Jews, they're everywhere.
Yeah. But the thing is, you have to understand, there is no such thing as hatred between Muslims and Jews. It's just that when it starts getting into specifics over land and shit, that happens. But, you know, when I meet a lot of Muslims here in town. You know, this is a melting pot here. And I don't see that. I don't see any, animosity or anything among the people. You know.
That's because you can't really have a land dispute in California.
Yeah.
I don't see it in the new generation either.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. I mean, I think people are realizing religion is really causing more trouble, more harm than good, you know. And
why can't we all just get along?
Yeah. Maybe one day we will.
Most of the wars that we have around the world are all just religious wars.
Yeah, absolutely. And conquest and shit, the same thing, you know. But fuck that, yeah. So how were you born here or did you move here?
Yeah, I was born in UCLA Hospital, actually. But because of my dad's job, we just had to move to a lot of different countries.
Oh, cool. What countries have you been to?
Right after here, I moved back to Iran, and I lived there for about 7 to 8 years. After that, I went to Malaysia. Then I moved to Singapore. Then I came straight here.
Yeah.
But I've visited a lot of country, and I'm really, I feel really lucky for that.
Yeah. So now, do you have any brothers or sisters?
I have a younger sister. Actually,
okay.
Susie met her on Friday night.
Oh,
he's
wow.
So it's so cute. He's so protective.
Now, so let me ask you this. Now, did your sister and your mother have to wear burqas and shit?
No. I mean, the only time they had to do that was when we lived in Iran.
That's what I mean. You said,
yeah,
you said 8 years you lived
Your
there.
Sister wore a burqa?
Yeah. What's that?
Your sister wore a burqa?
In Iran, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to. You have to. So, I mean, did you live in the States before and then you went back to Iran? Yeah, obviously,
I was here
right?
Until, second grade. I finished second grade and then I had to move. Again.
Shit. And what were you thinking at that age? I mean, here I'm, I'm leaving
America, going to Iran.
Going to that shit. I mean, what were you thinking?
It was the worst experience of my life. I wasn't thinking
Aww.
Anything. I mean, I had to go. I was in third grade. I was a little kid. I just had to do where my parents had to take me and,
No, absolutely.
I had to deal with it.
Yeah.
But for 7 years, all I had, I was fantasizing about the States and about the freedom that I had over here. Because just think about it. I was in, first grade, second grade, mingling with, little boys and girls. And also, I had to move to Iran to an all-boys school.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. Jeez.
Gosh, I can't even imagine. And a whole different language, too.
I know. And it's,
say something in Farsi.
Yeah, I had to learn everything. I had to learn how to read and write at third grade.
Yeah.
Will you say something in Farsi?
Yeah, tell
us. Say I'll pick you up at 8.
It's embarrassing.
Whoa.
Okay. She'll be there. All right, man. Listen, Sam, we got to go because we have a couple more guests coming up. But good luck to you with Susie. I mean, whatever happens, happens. Like I said, don't have high expectations, and you'll probably have a lot of fun.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I guarantee we'll have a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe I should get your cell phone number. Give me some hints about her. Yeah.
You can find out everything.
I don't know.
Just listen to the archives. You'll know everything about her.
Everything.
Yeah. I will.
All right.
Have a good day at work, and I'll talk to you later.
All right, babe.
Bye. All right, all the best. Bye. Okay.
You called me a babe.
Yeah. There goes another one's going to bite the dust.
Hey. Seriously, he's
another
a really...
broken heart.
No, seriously, he's a really nice guy, and we just got along. I trusted him right off the bat for some reason.
That's good. He sounds nice.
Yeah, he really is. Yeah. Definitely.
Good.
And it treats me like a woman, like a lady.
Yeah. But you see, but that's what I like about you, though. I mean, you don't fall head over heels, you know? You're sort of like... you know, even though when he treated you nice and everything, you're not like, oh, you know, well, I'm staying with him. You know, it's like, you sort of like, you do take it slowly, you know? I think you do. You know, you don't jump on a person. I mean, yeah, it's, you see, for you, it's natural to walk up to a guy you don't know and have him give you back rub or something. Okay. But for the most part, it doesn't happen that way, you know? So you're forward in that way, but you're not what I would call promiscuous, you know? You're not just...
I'm not whoring around, handing it out all over town.
But I think you do cause some blue balls here.
So you think I'm a cock tease, is what you're trying to say.
No, I didn't say that. You said that.
No, that's what you just basically said.
No, I think
I don't think you're
a cock tease. How the fuck did we get to that?
I don't know. That's just what I always throw that in there.
I know. That's very nice. Okay, let's see who this is. Good morning. You're on the air with Sam and Susie.
Hi, Sam. It's Stephanie Michaels.
Good morning, Stephanie Michaels. How
Hi,
are you?
Stephanie.
Good morning.
Where are you calling us from?
I'm actually calling from Los Angeles before I take off on a trip.
Oh, you are taking off today. That's right, because you were going to come in, and then you decided to call. Well, let me tell you, if you were here, you'd have a lot more fun, but since you couldn't, let's find
I'm
out.
I'm so jealous.
That's okay, but you can, when you're back in town, you're always welcome to come back here.
Okay, I'm back
person.
On the 20th for a few weeks, then I head back out to Cairo, so...
To Cairo.
Come in and see you guys.
Wow.
So you're like all over the place, right?
You need to come in and bring some photo albums.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah, so you call, you go by the name of Adventure Girl?
Yes, Adventure Girl.
Okay. And you have a website called that as well, right?
AdventureGirl.com.
Well, naturally enough. And so now what is it, I mean, I found you fascinating, so why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, what it is that you like, and why you call yourself Adventure Girl?
Well, actually, it started way back when the internet was just birthing. I was one of the first 1,500 commercial websites out there. So it was actually kind of a labor of love. I'm a computer geek by trade, I guess you would call it, or by interest. I'm not really technical, but I just had this really huge interest in what was going on with this little tiny site at the time called America Online. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. I remember Prodigy, too.
Yes.
Yeah, so I was kind of a little bit obsessed with it. And when I was traveling, I found that I could communicate with people via something at the time called email, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that just kind of blossomed. And actually, I didn't make my moniker Adventure Girl up. My fans started calling me Adventure Girl when they would see me on location somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of went with it.
Yeah. Now, what kind of adventures do you get into?
Oh, boy. Let's see. Jump out of planes, swim with sharks. For example, I'm going to Iceland, and I'll be glacier trekking. So I'll be actually scaling glaciers, of all things.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
Yeah,
it's really fun, you guys. I really love it.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And I hope that I inspire people to get out there and get adventurous. That's my end goal.
I do a lot of adventures as well.
Yeah, she likes adventures. That's why I thought you'd be great on the show.
great.
So what happened with the sharks there now? You mentioned sharks?
Yes, I was down in the Bahamas. At the time, I was doing an internet web-based show called Travel Partners, and it was basically where some of my fans that were coming into the website at the time, it was travelpartners.com, they could log in and sign up for a contest, and we were sponsor-driven, and I'd bring real people with me on adventures. I was doing reality before reality, you guys.
Oh, amazing, amazing.
And we would bring, they joined myself and my film crew, and we would shoot the adventure and air it online, and basically with the idea that I wanted to make your wishes come true. So if you wanted to swim with dolphins, we made that happen. If you wanted to swim with sharks, we did that too. And
what a cool job.
I was able to bring her boyfriend on the trip, and he wanted to swim with sharks, so we all got in there and swam with sharks, and it was awe-inspiring, let's put it that way.
But that wasn't like in nature, was it? I mean, it was probably
at
SeaWorld.
You're in the Bahamas, and they take you out to one of the feeding sites that the sharks are typically used to going to. They're intelligent creatures. Like, a lot of people think they're, just basically, food-driven, which they are, but they're also instinctual. So they'll go back to the same feeding spot once it's kind of like a trained shark, believe it or not.
Right.
So we got in the water, and there you have it.
Wow. Wow.
How close did you get to them? Like, they were just, like, swimming right by you?
I'm sorry?
How close did they get?
They're right there. In fact, we have footage of them bumping our cameraman.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it's crazy. They say, tuck your feet and tuck your fingers and your hands underneath your armpits.
Uh-huh.
Because they don't know that, if they're feeding them and they're swimming around you, they don't know if your fingers are part of the chump,
So
you have to kind of tuck them and be careful and... They leave you alone. They just really want the food.
Yeah. I don't think I'm ever going to get that close to sharks.
That's pretty nerve-wracking.
Yeah. So I don't need to know all these techniques and stuff.
I might, though.
Details,
huh? Yeah. I'm going to be in Australia soon, and who knows?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, we need to talk after the show. There's so many cool things to do there.
You know what? I'm going for almost 3 weeks, and I have nothing to do, and I've got nowhere to go. I have a plane ticket, and that's all I have.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Well, you definitely have to take a trip to Byron Bay.
Okay.
That would be sort of like the San Diego of what we have here, there.
Yep.
It's really cool surfer's paradise, yet trendy and chic and boutiques and great restaurants, and they have a Byron Music Festival. It's Byron Bay Music Festival. It's a really cool place to go.
And you're spelling that Byron, B-Y-R-O-N?
B-Y-R-O-N, Bay.
Okay,
B-A-Y.
Byron Bay.
And a lot of Americans really just don't know about it because it's just one of those kind of unique places to go. On the Gold Coast there. It's just gorgeous.
Okay.
Yeah.
What kind of adventures should I do there?
It's very cool. You'll probably end up spending most of your time there once you get there.
Yeah. Now, Australians are really into extreme sports. Is that correct?
I'm sorry?
I said I get the feeling that Australians are really into extreme sports.
Oh, they're crazy.
Yeah, they are crazy.
Hey, listen, New Zealanders are the ones that came up with bungee jumping,
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, they'll take it in the water, they'll take it in the air, they'll do whatever they can do to just get crazy and extreme.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, it's fun group, fun bunch of people, actually.
Sexy men.
I love them.
Yeah, sexy man, I'm sure.
Exactly.
Yeah. Now, so
I have to say, you guys, I had the coolest adventure, which really is tops, and I'm trying to top it. In fact, I'm trying to negotiate with my husband right now to go trek Everest because I don't know how I'm going to top this other adventure.
Right.
But I got to do zero gravity with Buzz Aldrin.
Wow.
Nice. Yeah, actually,
it's so cool. They take you up in a plane. It's actually called Zero G. It's a company that is based back east. And they take you up in a plane and they turn the nose up to 1 o'clock of the plane and then they dump the plane to 4 o'clock, the nose to 4 o'clock.
Uh-huh.
And as you are arcing and hitting that 4 o'clock position, you lift up off the plane's floor where they have you sit and lay down.
Right.
And you hit zero gravity. And it's like being on the moon. It's the most incredible experience.
Yeah. Whoa. I learned that thing the hard way when I was flying solo. Yeah, and I almost died stalling like that.
Kidding.
Yeah, no. But I can see those pictures on your website, definitely. This is cool. Now,
what's
I can see. What's that?
What is the website?
It's adventuregirl.com.
Okay.
Yeah, very easy.
Thanks,
and
guys. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, look at you. You're like here in the snow in Canada and wow, I mean, you live the life that everybody would love to have. I mean, how
I do. I'm a lucky adventure girl, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But people can do it. You can do it. It's just a matter of, finding what you want to do. I always say it's not about necessarily being at the top of the Andes. Of course, you can find adventure there, but you can walk out your own door and go for a walk and experience nature, experience something different or adventure. Changing your lipstick color, I would tell
I wore
you.
Red last
That's
night.
Right?
I totally did that. I wore bright red lipstick all day at school, and everyone was just like, wow, you look fabulous today. Like, what's different? And I was like, absolutely nothing except my lipstick. And I was like, and I feel fabulous.
It's all about lifestyle change, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, and well, you're obviously a fascinating person. I mean, I see that you've been on all these talk shows on ABC and CNN and all that. So, how did you manage to finally get that notoriety where you became an adventure girl doing this probably for yourself? And suddenly becoming this person that everybody knows and interested in what she's doing.
I just got out there. You know, they always say, do what you love, and people will find you. And I think that's what happened. I just started doing it. The web stuff helped. I mean, absolutely put me on the map as far as having some sort of a personality and a brand,
right,
actually. So it just built from there, and editors started coming to me saying, could you write about something, you know, about one of your adventures for our readers? Can you, you know, be an editor for our magazine? I worked for a magazine called Affluent Worldwide, which is a private jet magazine, and they would each month follow my adventures, you know, in a featured story. So it just kind of started to start small and just started to grow. And I did my first media tour this summer, which was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I'd always done talk shows or interviews after I'd done, you know, an event or two. But this was actually like 10 cities, 10 days. And I went to morning shows all across the country talking travel.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm actually going to be doing that again at the first part of December when I get back. So I'll be on the road traveling to different places. I don't know where it's going to be yet. We haven't, like, secured all that. But I love it. You know, it's just one of those things. Again, passion will drive you, you know, and people will find you.
That's so neat. I love it.
Yeah, it's really cool. So, so I noticed that, so you actually, I mean, your slogan here says, bringing your travel dreams to life. So you essentially, it's not that you only travel, you take people to these places.
Yes. In the past, I have done that. We've kind of put that on hold right now because people just don't want to travel to different cities with me. Or I'm sure they'd like to go to Iceland with me, and I'd love to have everybody there.
Right.
But what we've done is we've shifted the focus a little bit, and I've been concentrating on just doing my own adventures right now so that, you know, I can bring more information, more experiences to people that will eventually travel with me in the future.
It's hard to play. Hard to play guide.
Zero gravity.
Yeah.
Where we'll bring a group with us, and so to experience zero gravity. And I'm working with Spa Magazine on a location where readers and my fans can come along on a spa journey. So that's
on a spa journey.
09. Yeah. So we're working on a location right now.
I recommend Canyon Ranch.
Canyon Ranch, there you go. Beautiful. There's also Miraval, so, you know, that's another place. But we're talking a little bit out of the country, like somewhere in the Caribbean.
All right, all right.
That's, like, exactly where we're going yet. I have my eye on St. Lucia.
Okay.
So, you know, we track the pitons there, but we'll see. We'll see where, you know, again, you know, adventure just kind of leads me. So I just let it do that for me.
Yeah. Now, Stephanie, I know you've been in so many places, and you probably maybe not have a favorite, or maybe it'd be hard for you to figure it out, but do you have a favorite place where you tell everybody should go there?
Yes. Where's hands down, South Africa.
Yes, wow. Yes, we both agree with you on that.
My favorite place in the world.
Mine's Zimbabwe.
It is heaven on earth. It is the salt of the earth, I say. You know, it's just one of those places that you can talk about it, you can see the pictures, but it's not until you get your feet on the ground there and you're in the bush and you're with the animals. There's something to be said about humanity being started there and humanity in the animals. You kind of take a look at the animals and you watch how they operate, and it's eat or be eaten.
Yes.
And you kind of get some kind of a strange, like, insight into the human psyche, because you kind of can say, oh, I know someone that kind of acts like that.
Yeah, a gorilla.
You really see our humanity in the animals. And maybe that's just me being an animal lover and I put human emotions onto animals, but it's such an amazing place. And the people are just beautiful.
The people are amazing.
From the inside out.
They're very warm, very polite, very nice, absolutely. And while we're talking about South Africa, I think, you know, most South Africans will tell you that if you go to Cape Town, that's the most beautiful place on earth. And you know what? I have to say, it's pretty damn close.
Yes, yes. I mean, it's a beautiful city. It's right there on the coast. I mean, obviously, it's gorgeous.
Right.
My favorite, though, is being in the bush with the animals, you know?
In the bush, yes, yes.
I just watching them, you know, in nature. And I have plans for 2009 to go to Mozambique and to do a Kenya run because, you know,
you should get
so
to Zimbabwe before it disappears.
Yes.
You really should.
I know,
that's
right?
My favorite place.
Yeah. Stephanie, so where are you going next?
I'm going to Iceland.
Oh, that's right. You're going to Iceland. So, is that where you're going now?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I'm so excited about it, you guys.
I'm sure.
I've wanted to go for a really long time, and actually anybody who's considering a trip right now should really consider Iceland because it's their kuna, it's the Icelandic kuna, I believe is how it's pronounced, is so dirt cheap. I mean, their economy, unfortunately, like our economy, is not that great right now. The banks were just bailed out by their own government.
Yeah.
But the exchange is incredible, and it's a very interesting, different kind of place because it is the land of fire and ice.
Yes.
So literally, one day, you're with the geysers, and it's a lot of volcanic activity. So you're there, and then the next day, you're glacier trekking.
Right.
So, they just bump up right there together.
Yeah.
You're very rare that you can find that, you know?
Yeah. And it's interesting because it's sort of like isolated from the mainland and you know. What continent does Iceland belong to, by the way? Do you know?
You know, that's a good one. I need to research that.
Yeah.
It's its own country,
yeah.
But I think it is paired with Scandinavia, Norway, Denmark.
So that would be Europe, yeah.
It's part of that area.
Right.
It's off their coast several hours, and then it's off New York if you head north. East, it's 5 hours.
Exactly.
So there are direct flights out of New York. So I'm heading to New York, and then from New York, I head up there. So it's actually really pretty convenient from the States. You know, if you think about it, going to the Caribbean, especially from the West Coast,
It takes forever.
You fly into Florida or San Juan, and then you head down, and that's basically all day travel. Well, this is you fly to New York and then to Iceland or Boston to Iceland. So,
Yeah,
it's just a really cool, unique thing. And how many people do you know that have said they've gone to Iceland,
That's
right?
True. And, Stephanie, how long are you going to be there?
I'll be there a full week, an entire week.
Uh-huh.
And I'll be filming my adventures with Flip Video, which is a cool little video number. It's a little video cam.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go to flipvideo.com, you'll see it.
Wait, so you do all the filming yourself?
And it's really easy because it's basically you shoot it, you plug it into your computer, and you upload the videos, like steps 1, 2, 3.
Right, right.
So I'll be video vlogging my adventures.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And, well, this is incredible. I mean, I envy you for being able to go to so many different places and do all these adventures, and you definitely have branded yourself nicely, I think. Everybody go to adventuregirl.com, and that's Stephanie Michaels. And I just wanted to let you know while we have you here that on your page, Meet Steph, you probably want to update it because it talks about 2007 as being the present. And, you might want to update it a little bit. But
I've got so much to update it. See, Beth, I'm so busy. I don't have time to do that.
I know. That's what I was thinking. She's too busy being...
Definitely. Well, we're going to be launching a new site in 2009, a much more interactive site where adventure girls can come in and talk about their stories. And there's going to be a whole new site for 2009. So hold tight, guys, on that one.
Yeah. We'll definitely feature Susie on there because she's into adventure, let me tell you.
I love it, too.
Yeah,
that's
awesome. Yeah, she's jumped off of planes and bungee jumped and who knows what else.
All the big games.
Okay, I want to know, Susie, what did you think of the bungee jumping experience? Did it freak you out?
You know what? I did it in Victoria Falls in Zimbabwe, right in between Zimbabwe and Botswana. And the main reason that it freaked me out the most was because as soon as the guy ties my feet together and then you have to jump with your feet bound together to the end of this plank as you're looking down into Victoria Falls. And so I've got the guy that starts counting back from three. He's like 3, 2, and I grab him by the neck of his shirt and I was like, I'm not ready yet. And he grabs my hand and he rips it off of his shirt and he's like, you will never be ready. And he pushes me. So then I... So I'm flying down, and the rope is fraying in front of my face, Stephanie. It's just like shredding in front of me, and I'm like,
"Of course, they warn you if you put your arms out, it could wrap around your arms and break your arm. Be careful, right?"
No, they didn't even warn me of that.
Oh,
no,
nice.
No. You know, nice. They don't have the same safety standards over there. Is basically what I'm getting at. but so it was pretty unbelievable. But as soon as the rope caught, you're just like, all right, am I going to have an orgasm or a heart attack? And then you're like, okay, definitely orgasm. You're like, oh.
I love it. Yeah. You are a true adventure girl. That is,
yeah, she's okay, adventurous, all right. Sure. Yeah, she's adventurous. Stephanie, thank you so much. Have the best trip ever. I'm sure you will.
And I can't wait to meet you guys on the return when I get back.
Absolutely. Yeah, when you do, come in and you can tell us all about your experience and everything, and we'll have a blast.
Oh, it'll be definitely so fun, and I really appreciate you guys having me on the show this morning. Thank you, and
absolutely.
And hi to all my adventurers out there, and we'll see you guys soon.
Yes. Safe travels to you.
Thanks so much.
Bye. Okay.
Bye,
Stephanie Michaels. Thank you. Bye bye. Okay, that was Stephanie Michaels. Let's take a little break. Hopefully, our guest is here.
I'm so hungover.
Are you? Oh, Susan.
Like it's. I really think I was drunk when I got here, and I really think all of a sudden my hangover has hit. I need water.
Really? Okay, go get some water. We'll be back right after this.
This is President-elect Barack Obama. I want to thank you for your support, and I want you to know that I am not going to go back on any of the promises I made during my historic campaign. I will have an inclusive cabinet, a cabinet that will include a Democrat in every office. I will find Osama bin Laden by challenging him to a game of one-on-one. He may have the height, but he ain't got the skills. Finally, and most importantly, I will not raise taxes on anyone making, where do we leave off? Oh, that's right, under $34 a week. So, I thank you again, and don't forget, what's done is done, and you can't take it back. Thank you.
I'm the number one internet site for irreverent, cool, and entertaining talk programming. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.
days I pray for silence, and some days I pray for soul. Some days I just pray to the god of sex and drums and rock and roll. And maybe I'm lonely, that's all I'm wild about to be. That's just one and only promise I can keep. As long as the wheels are turning, as long as the fires are burning, as long as your prayers are coming true, you better believe it, that I would do anything for love. And you know it's true, and that's a fact. And I would do anything for love, and there'll never be no turning back. But I'll never do it better than I do it with you. So long, so long.
On the next MTV Cribs.
Hello, I'm Barack Obama. Welcome to the White House. All right, we'll start in the diplomatic reception room. You'll see I've replaced the paintings of the Founding Fathers with flat screens from wall to wall. I got CNN, Fox News, even ESPN, so I can keep up with Kobe and King James. Okay, let's move upstairs. Check out the Lincoln bedroom.
Yo, baby!
All right, boys. This is where my homies chill when I'm working. What are you guys up to?
Yo, just playing some Malcolm X box.
Those boys be tripping. Let's go check out the motorcade, shall we? Here's the fleet of Lincoln Town Cars and Cadillac Escalades. Got 24s all around because, well, you got a rolling style when you're rolling with the Prez. All right, thanks for checking out what will hopefully be my crib for the next 8 years. You don't have to go home, but you gots to get the hell out of here. Peace.
Era, this is the great Senator Ted Kennedy. I am a big fan of Sam and Susie in the Morning here on LA Talk Radio. There is nothing more than I like Jews and nymphomaniacs. And put that pair together, and that is something I will listen to on my internet radio all day long. Here they are, Sam and the horny little slut, Susie. Era.
It's Sam and Susie in the Morning on LA Talk Radio.
What's the last thing Ted Kennedy just says?
I take issue with that. You're not a slut at
all. Does he say Arab? Error?
No, error.
Error.
Yeah. This is a way that...
Did you just snort?
I just snorted. I knew you'd say something. You don't let me get away with anything. But no, on Howard Stern, they do Ted Kennedy impressions, and they always put that error. You know, I guess he says that. I don't know. I never heard.
Oh, like
that. Yeah, I like that.
Okay. I thought he was saying like Arab or something.
No,
not I don't know. I've been meaning to ask you about that for a while.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that that's the. But you're not a slut.
No.
No, you're not a slut.
I just pretend to be.
It's just Ted Kennedy thinks you are.
I just play one on TV. Yeah. I just act like one.
What about getting back into acting, Susie? Maybe not modeling.
Actually,
you claim you're fat, although I don't think you are.
Actually, it's really funny because my manager, my childhood manager, who was the one that like kind of quote unquote discovered me, mm-hmm. Back when I was 4 years old, just sent me an email yesterday.
Really?
Yes. We have lost contact for 10 years, mm-hmm. And I contacted her because of a person that I got reestablished with on Facebook. Mm-hmm. And so basically, she moved to Florida. She got cancer, and you know, took some time off from being a manager and everything. And so she moved from New York to Florida, mm-hmm. To kind of recover and everything. And then my mom got remarried and then moved. And basically, she said that she has been looking for us,
really?
And trying to find me for years.
Wow.
And so she sent me this email just being like, oh my God, like, Susie, I can't believe it.
How did she find
it.
You on Facebook?
No, she didn't find me on Facebook. I found her social networking. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
Basically, a childhood friend of mine that knows her as well because his mother worked with her.
Mm-hmm.
So he found me on Facebook, and I was like, oh my God, does your mom still have Sally's information?
Mm-hmm.
And so he was like, yeah. And so he gave it to me, and then I sent her an email, and she was just like, you don't even know how hard I've been looking for you.
Wow.
So it's funny that you say that because I have been thinking, contemplating in the back of my mind, maybe doing commercials again.
Yeah.
Because I mean, it's
you
so,
really should. Susie.
It's so little
I mean, it's
work, and it's
money.
So much money.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It could be kind of fun doing it on my terms.
I really think you should. I mean, you know, you have the ability, you have the talent, you've done it many times before. You're probably very comfortable in front of the camera, mm-hmm. and stuff. You know, so do it.
I really am thinking about it, and I kind of feel like, I don't know, it's weird the way the stars have aligned, and it's just like, all of a sudden she like fell into my lap out of nowhere, uh-huh. And she's got all the connections to get me like hooked up with a new agent out here in a heartbeat.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I would do it.
But then it's just, I don't know, it's just a matter of time, because you've got to make yourself available to go on auditions on
right.
a daily basis.
Right.
And you can't be like, oh, yeah, I'm not available right now. I've got a nanny.
Yeah.
Or, no, that doesn't work for me. I've got school. Like, until you're, like, a really big star and up there, you can't really be picky and choosy.
Right.
So, I don't know.
But you don't have to take every job that comes to you. Just take the things that are convenient.
Yeah, just go on, like, the cool auditions for, like, the big national net commercials.
Exactly, when you're not busy, you know? I mean, what the
fuck? I'm just kind of freaking out, though, like, thinking about it. Because all of a sudden, it's like, I haven't done a commercial since I was 18.
Mm.
But, I mean, it's not that long ago. That's only 8 years ago.
Right.
But back then, when I was 18, I was playing, like, 14 and 15-year-olds.
Right.
And so now that I'm 26, it's like, oh, my God, what if, like, I've aged in a certain way that they start typecasting me as, like, a mom?
Not at this point.
Oh my God. No, seriously, like, can't you just see me like doing a commercial like holding the baby and being like, oh, da, da, da. It's so hard doing all these chores around the house and oh my God. But
no,
then
Susie, you're not at the point where you look like a MILF. Okay?
I don't know.
You're still young. You look like
know.
A young girl.
What if they cast me as a mom? I don't know how I would feel about that.
Then just don't do it, you know?
Oh God. Well, then that would be awful. It would be like not doing the public service announcement for herpes because, like, you don't want the world. Those pay a lot of money. I'm serious. And, like, tampon commercials, just stick it up there.
Wow. So what's with the trip to Australia? Are you still planning? What's going on with that?
You know what? I just got my course catalog in the mail for the winter courses, mm-hmm. and I think all of the courses, I hope I'm mistaken, but pretty much all of the courses that I need to take
mm-hmm.
Over the next two semesters, I don't think any of them are offered as online courses.
Mm.
So
that means what?
It means that I might possibly be skipping my trip.
Oh, wow.
You look overjoyed.
Well, I'm trying to contain my joy, really.
Don't get too excited because I'm going to try and find any way I possibly can. Like, maybe even seeing if I could take the classes in Australia at, like, a satellite campus. A very, very
Change
far
the
away.
Whole world to operate the way you want it.
Why not?
Yeah, why not? There you go.
Why not?
Ambition is important.
If I can't make the world work for me, then what the fuck am I doing here?
Trying to adjust to the world, maybe?
No, I'm adjusting the world to me.
I see, okay.
It's my world, you just live in it.
Okay, that makes sense. So, well, I'm overjoyed. I mean, yeah, I'd like to have you here. I mean, you know, I'm not going to hide the fact I don't want to see you go. But if you're going to go, then I'm happy for you. You know, I mean, I know it'll be a great trip.
I need another adventure.
Another adventure.
It's funny that we had Adventure Girl on because my ex-boyfriend from Canada, Drew, the whole premise of our relationship, we met at Burning Man, like on a ton of drugs, and then basically we didn't even know each other before we started like hooking up. And then next thing you know, we took some weird acid ecstasy drug and we hitchhiked to Reno. And then from there we stayed in like a seedy motel, like showered for the first time, rented a Mustang, drove to Tahoe, you know, had like a fabulous time, appeared in LA for a day, then hopped on a plane to Vancouver. And like the whole premise of our relationship was adventure. It's like, what's the next one going to be?
You should be adventure girl.
I know, right?
Yeah.
It seems that she makes a lot of money like doing adventure girl things. Like, probably. How is she getting all these things financed?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think she takes people on these trips and the people pay to go.
I could totally fucking do that.
I'm sure.
Oh, my God.
It would be amazing. Huh?
I am so entertaining.
Yeah. No, you are. And, I mean, it'd be the most amazing job, too.
I know,
you
right? Know,
you go all over the place. That's why, like she said, you know, you got to start things out of passion, you know? Don't think about the money. Think about the passion. Think about what you're going to do.
Well, that's
and the
thing,
money
like,
will eventually come.
It I really see that is. She's passionate about it, but I'm also wondering, like, I'm very passionate about traveling, too, but it's like, sometimes I'll have the plane ticket, and then it comes down to it, and I'm like, fuck. I'm like, even if I get there, I won't have any money to, like, eat or get around.
Yeah. Well, that's not exactly so what I meant, you know?
No, I know.
I mean, passion, so you eventually can make a living off of it, you know? But, yeah, I mean, everybody loves to travel, Susie. Yeah, it'd be nice if we could make money off of it.
I hate the act of traveling.
Do you?
Yes.
Like being on the plane?
Being on the plane, being in an airport.
Yeah, I know, that sucks. But once you get there, it's great.
Sometimes.
Sometimes?
Well, yeah, most of the time once you get there, it's great. But I really hate the act of getting there. Mm. It really kind of annoys me.
Yeah, I know.
In fact, I've actually, last year I missed 20 planes.
20 planes?
20 planes I missed.
How did you miss those?
I didn't get on them.
How does somebody miss a flight? I've never missed a flight in my life.
I have missed so many flights in my life, it's not even funny.
It must have cost you a bundle, too.
At the time, I wasn't really paying for much of anything.
I see. So. For someone, it cost someone a bundle.
It cost someone a bundle, yes.
Yeah. Proven once again, when you don't work for your money, you don't appreciate it.
It's not that I don't appreciate it. It's that I didn't want to go home or I didn't
want to
go.
Susie, if it was your fucking money, you would not have canceled the flight.
I would too. Some of the flights I canceled on my own dime.
Really?
Yes. Actually, I think I have 3 plane tickets to the Caribbean right now for a plane that I missed last year.
Mm.
That I just didn't get on. I decided I was drunk and I was like, I don't feel like going to the Caribbean right now. It's really far away. Mm. And I didn't think about it when I booked the trip. I really did not like sit down and look at a map and realize like how far away like the Caribbean is from Los Angeles.
Yeah.
It's really far. Like what Stephanie was just saying, like Iceland is actually much closer.
Yeah. It really is, you know.
I know.
It really is. Yeah. You want to take just a peek to see if the guest is here?
Sure. Talk to yourself for
I don't,
a minute.
Yeah, I don't want to take a fucking break again, you know. But, there was supposed to be a guest here, although I wasn't sure whether they were coming or not because it's all about phone calls and coming in and all that stuff. But I guess not, Susie. So we'll just continue. We'll continue with what we have. Now, I wanted to go back to the proposition with the chickens. I mean, what's that all about? Who was the one that even came up with this idea?
Probably some PETA fanatic.
Yeah.
I'm very proud of you for voting whichever way on it, but the proper way.
Yeah. Are you like a pro PETA thing?
I was actually a member of PETA for years.
Oh, really?
Yeah, back when I was a fanatic as well.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I used to protest everything. I would protest anyone that wore furs. I would threaten to wear or like throw blood on them. McDonald's we used to protest at boarding school, circuses for their treatment of the animals.
Really?
Uh-huh. So I want those chickens to stretch their legs. I feel very badly for them.
Yeah.
Yes.
Come on, Susie.
What?
We've got other so many important problems to deal with. Now we're dealing with
why
the chickens.
Why can't we deal with all of them?
Because resources are limited and time is limited.
Well, the chicken's life is limited too, so why not make it a little bit nicer?
Yeah. I guess so. We'll see how expensive eggs become now.
That's all right.
Chicken, you know, chicken is still considered a pretty inexpensive thing to eat.
Yes,
you know?
I know.
I mean, what, you get a whole chicken for $4 or something, you know?
I spend like $10 on my whole chicken.
Really?
Where do you get your chicken?
No, if you go like to Ralph's or something, they have the barbecued one or the cooked one for like $5-6, I think.
Wow.
Yeah. You don't even have to cook it or anything.
I like cooking it myself.
Do you?
Yes.
You know, I find the chickens... I don't know. For the most part, when people make chicken at home, mm-hmm. it has kind of like, I don't know, weird taste. I don't know. When I eat it in restaurants, it tastes a lot better than when people make it at home.
You are such a weirdo.
Fuck you. I know I'm a weirdo.
You've never had my chicken.
I guess.
My chicken is really good.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Well, most chicken is good. That's not what I'm saying. It's just that, I don't know. Sometimes it smells, you know.
You and your fucking smells, like everything like irritates you. You've got the most fragile nose I've ever like known in my entire life.
That's not true.
Yes, it is.
Nah, I just get grossed out by things.
I know. You would have been so grossed
that's
out.
Weird?
No, it's just kind of funny.
It is funny.
What a big baby you are.
It's not about being a baby, Susie.
Yes, it is.
Some things just disgusting.
I know, but you know, sometimes life is just disgusting. You need to deal with it.
Yeah.
And
yeah, you said you were like, you were going to throw up over something.
No, I still feel like I'm going to throw up, but that's because I'm hungover.
Yeah. But it's also
the
sheep part.
The sheep part yesterday from biology class.
Yeah, you see? So there's things that gross you out, too.
Well, I don't know. I just wanted to eat my soup, and, you know, I'm sitting there looking at the fucking sheep part, and it's got all the fat and the veins and the, you know, vena cavernosa and, you know, all the arteries. Ugh.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to be a sex therapist. Why the fuck do you need to know this shit?
I don't know.
You'll never use it.
No, basically, they want you to know like how your circulatory system works and how
how
our bodies function.
Yeah.
And so it is kind of important because like you don't even really think about it.
Yeah.
So
what kind of a degree will you get or certification?
I don't know.
Is there a name for it?
Probably. I'm just going to get a master's in sexual psychology.
Are you?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's my end goal.
All right. But I mean, are you going to get like any license or anything? Like they have marriage and family counselors, MFCs, and. Social workers and psychologists.
I haven't actually delved into it that deeply because I'm still kind of, you know, just focused on the shit that I'm doing right now.
Right.
To kind of get to the bigger picture.
How many credits do you still need to graduate?
Oh, God, don't even ask me that question.
Really? A lot?
I don't even know how many credits I have.
Really?
I have credits that I've just been collecting. Like, seriously, they're like Girl Scout badges for me. Like, I just like, you know, do-do-do-do. I've got some from here, and I've got some from there, and I've got some in this major, and
well,
that major.
Well, maybe it's time to start planning so you don't take courses you don't need.
I am planning. That's why I'm potentially not going to Australia, because I have to... I'm down to 5 courses that I have to take.
Yeah.
Chemistry, physics, art, English, and physical anthropology.
Wow.
Those are the 5 courses that I need to have under my belt in order to transfer.
Right.
And then from there, I have 2 years of intensive psychology stuff that I have to get done.
Mm.
So it's a long way away.
But the psychology is interesting and fun.
It really is. Actually, yeah. I was thinking about it yesterday, and I really kind of miss taking psychology courses. But I've taken all the ones that I could take at this level for now.
Right.
So just doing like the stats and the biology, I mean,
I know.
Blah. Speaking of stats, so I baked the banana bread yesterday that I brought you.
And you brought me some, yeah.
And so I brought it to school and I offer it to my statistics professor.
Uh-huh.
He fucking like denied it.
Really?
Yes. He was like, I only eat things that my wife makes, you students. He like threatened, or he said that I was like kind of threatening him and that I probably poisoned it.
What?
Yes, and that I wasn't going to get an A for like trying to bribe him with banana bread. And that is not what I was trying to do.
What a fucking asshole.
What
he
a
actually
fucking
said
asshole.
That to
yeah,
you?
In his communist freaking Russian accent. I could not believe him. You know, I can't sway him at all with like a short skirt, no underwear, front row.
No.
That doesn't work. Banana bread doesn't work. Like, what other way is there to a man's heart to get an A?
How old do you think he is?
Pretty old. I'd say like 48.
Fuck you, okay?
You are an idiot. Is that what you're going to play?
No, I'm looking for something here.
Haha, you don't have anything to play.
This is starting to irritate me.
You are an idiot!
I don't like the idiot one. That one's just dumb.
Well, you are an idiot.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, well, you tell me shit, I'll tell you shit back.
What did I just say? I don't even remember.
You said that he was pretty old, 48.
Oh, yes, yes. Sorry, I forget these things sometimes.
Yeah, always count on someone to make me feel old.
You know what? I'm just ragging on you because I feel so old, especially today.
How the
fuck
can you feel old at 26?
My head is just not functioning. And like the more that the minutes tick by, I'm just realizing what bad condition I'm in today.
Really?
Yes. And I knew it. I knew it. I was asleep on my couch and then my girlfriends were coming to pick me up. And I actually sent them a text being like, okay, guys, I'm not coming. And then they give me a phone call and they're like, we're outside your house. And I was like, oh my God. So I tried to stay in and be a good girl.
How many girls were all together?
Four of us.
Four of you?
Yes.
All hot and everything?
Yeah, we're pretty sexy.
Really? So you go to this club and you don't remember what happened there. Did your friends tell you?
No, I haven't spoken to them yet this morning.
Oh.
You were my first order of business as I stumble out of bed.
And someone else was driving, I hope, right?
Yes, Christy was. Christy was.
Cool.
Yes. through the gay parade. That was so funny.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe we were just like stuck and swarmed in the middle of it. And we're all like, we voted for you guys. We're like, let us go. We want to go dance.
Yeah.
And get our drink on. And I'll smoke on.
Yeah. I know. I think people make too much fuss about it, you know.
It's something they really believe in.
No, I know. But what I'm saying is I think the vote has shown that people are not ready for it yet, you know? And, you know, even
wasn't
if
the vote like 52%?
No, I think it was more than that. Wasn't it like 60-something? I'm not sure. If somebody remembers, please call us, let us know. Because it's kind of embarrassing not to know that and talk about it. But at the same time...
I don't care.
Well, we have to at least pretend we're smart.
Right. Speaking of that, you stopped giving the news. I liked having the news to read.
Yeah, I know. Because I felt it's like our show gets so full that we never get around to it anyway. You know, I mean, think about it. I print like 20 pages every day and we don't even use it, you know? So I mean, I would like to, and we probably will. You know, we need to sit and talk about the show a little bit. You know, maybe start it off with some news, and it doesn't have to be important news, you know, but news nevertheless. You know, celebrities, whatever the fuck, you know.
Some kind of gossip.
Yeah, So going back to Prop 8, you know,
yes.
What I'm saying is apparently people are not ready for this yet. It doesn't mean it's not going to happen. Just let people get used to the idea, you know. I mean, the fact that 40% have voted for this, and obviously many people that have voted are not gay, it shows you that people are coming around, you know. It's just that you have to wait. You can't constantly be angry and cause commotion and shit, you know. I mean, it's...
But it just sucks to have had a false start for these people.
Well, yeah, but the thing is you have
these
to understand.
Yeah.
But you have to understand. I mean, you know, the court made it okay, and then people wanted to put it up for vote, and it didn't pass. You know, so, or it passed, I mean.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think society has become a lot more accepting towards gays than it has in the past. So it's a question of, you know, an evolution, you know, let people get used to the idea. I mean, I still do
but
a double take
like
when I see two guys.
Women's rights and, you know, and African-American rights back in the day. I mean, if they weren't protesting and making themselves heard, it never would have happened.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I mean, people have to kind of like take a stand and, you know, show that they want change. And, you know, maybe by doing this, they can actually make a difference.
No, absolutely. I mean, you got to have some activists, of course. But I just think in general, you know, you can't make generalizations. I think, for me, it's still I would do a double take if I see two guys kissing, you know. It's just, you know, because we don't see it a lot, you know. So people have to get used to that. You know?
I just think
I've had to get used to the idea.
I think of like my kids' generation, like my children are going to be like, can you, oh my God, like mom, you were around when like gay people like couldn't be married. Oh my gosh. You know, if you think about it that way, like they're,
true.
You know, they're going to be like, you lived through that? Whoa, like you were a revolutionary.
Yeah.
And it's just so funny if you think about how things are going to be so different that far away in the future.
Yeah. I know. Things are moving so fast.
I know. I want time to just slow down for a little bit.
Yeah.
They were talking about,
I guess Obama brought up this woman who was 106 years old, telling about how she lived so many generations, you know, from the time when there was still segregations and stuff, and to now where she sees a black president, you know.
Yeah.
So isn't that amazing? Now imagine how much has changed.
It made my nipples hard.
Yes. They've been hard all fucking morning, man. I'm trying not to stare at them.
They'll poke your eye out. Careful.
Yeah, they will. They're little but dangerous, man.
Sharp.
So anyway, how did we get to tits now?
I don't know. No, like you were talking about the 106-year-old woman, Obama, and like you gave me chills all over my body because I was just thinking about that. And I was like, that's pretty cool.
I know. And I mean, just
and I got the extra tinge in my nipples.
Yeah, just think about me as the old man of 48, okay? I mean, you know how much the world has changed since I was a kid? My God, you know? There used to be still a milkman back then, and we would have to buy
That's
fuel
so
for the heaters, you know, and shit in the winter. You know, this guy would fucking come with a horse and a fucking gas tank in the back.
A horse?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
A horse and buggy.
A horse drawn, yeah.
Now that is primitive.
It is fucking primitive.
Whoa. That's pretty crazy. What else?
It really is.
Tell
you
me
know,
more.
The,
Tell
the
me
roads
more.
Weren't paved. You know, there was no cars and shit.
Water beds in the back of of Chevy vans.
Yeah. Let's see who this is. Good morning. You're on the air with Sam and Susie.
Hey, Sam. Susie, Jeff Rector calling.
Oh, Jeff Rector.
Hi, Jeff.
Good morning. How are you, Jeff?
I'm fantastic. I love how you go from a 106-year-old woman in politics to tits.
To protruding new nipples.
Are beautiful.
That's what we're known for.
it's just really amazing. I actually was at the Democratic Convention celebration party.
Oh, really?
Oh, nice. How was it?
The night of the election. It was nuts. I mean, they cordoned off both ends of Avenue of the Stars with fire trucks. You couldn't get in. There were fire trucks right in front of the hotel. 4,000 or 5,000 people showed up that they weren't expecting. The fire marshal closed it down.
Oh.
It was at the Hyatt Regency. Hotel guests couldn't get into the hotel.
Wow.
Oh,
that's serious.
Yeah.
It was nuts. And I kind of just... You know, people were in line for hours. I just went right up to the front and, you know, said the right thing.
Because you're kind of a big deal, and, you know,
and
people know you.
It was crazy. It was nuts.
Yeah.
It was absolutely crazy.
Was there free alcohol?
Well, there were suites with free alcohol, which is where I made my way to, of course. And started to celebrate.
Yeah.
And then I went downstairs, and I mean, the bar had a private party for Proposition 2, which is the animal rights proposition.
Let the chickens stretch their legs.
There were private parties. I mean, they literally took over the entire hotel.
Yeah.
And the main, we were in one of the conference rooms, one private party I was in, but downstairs... The main floor was where they had a DJ set up. There were 6,000 people. They were dancing. There were balloons, confetti. I mean, you know, that's where sort of the public that
right.
were in, that was invited was. It was just a scene. It was crazy.
Right. Yeah. Well, it sounds pretty cool,
absolutely
Jeff.
Absolutely amazing.
Yeah. Well, it's nice to be part of all this. You know, I mean, it's really it's cool to go. I wish I had gone to something like that, but maybe next time. Jeff, we got to run, man, but thanks for calling so much. And don't forget, everybody, listen to Jeff on Sunday at 4 o'clock with his show Out There. A very good show about fantasy and horror and science fiction. So make sure to catch
Jeff. In fact, my
Jeff.
Guest this week is going to be Robert Picardo, who's the star of the next Stargate Atlantis series. So very excited.
Great. Well, we'll be listening for sure. Okay, Jeff Rector, thank you so much.
Bye, Jeff.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Sure. Okay. And we had someone just join us. We didn't even expect you. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Let's fix your microphone.
Oh, aren't you gracious? How are you guys?
Good. How are you?
I am well, thank you.
And you're just a little bit late.
Yes, I am. You're okay. Right. I drove by about 45 times before I realized where we were. I'm like, wow, I'm really a moron. This is
really?
Pathetic.
Wow.
Oh, no.
Pathetic state of affairs for me. Wow.
I'm so sorry. I mean, because I knew it was hard for you to get down because you're traveling and everything, right?
Yeah, I just got off tour and I'm getting ready to go back on tour.
Really?
But that is no excuse for my moronic inability to find your studio this morning. I'm sorry.
Well, it does happen. It does happen. But you know what? Maybe we'll go a little longer today, maybe 5-10 minutes, so we give you an opportunity to really tell us a little bit about yourself. So why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself to Susie, to everyone. I never met you either, so.
I know, this is what's so weird. I feel like I'm like crashing the party here.
Yeah, pretty much.
Hello, everybody.
We're all ready to go home and everything, but no,
I know, well, I brought the beer. Come on, guys.
You did?
What's the party
I'm
now?
So hungover. No more beer. No
She's
more.
She's drawing the line, ladies and gentlemen.
She drinks too much, yeah. So so introduce yourself to us, please.
Well, I am Danielle Agnew.
Right.
I am an actress and a singer and a filmmaker.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And when I was 5, I had a guinea pig, and my favorite color is blue. So
okay, that's good enough. Goodbye.
I hate guinea pigs, I just have to say.
Why?
They are the dumbest animals I've ever known in my entire life.
No, really.
The only good thing you could do to a guinea pig is squeeze it, and it makes a funny noise.
Well, it'll bleed if you squeeze it real hard, but that's advised.
I'm not that mean. I was a rat girl.
Oh, were you? Now, see, rats are smart.
Yes, exactly. The guinea pigs are just dumb. They just sit there and they're like,
No, you know, guinea pigs actually are very into, they're the sensitive creature. Gerbils are dumb as a box of hair.
Really?
It's sad.
How bad dumb is a box of hair? Never heard that one before.
You know, it's pretty unresponsive.
Pretty.
We'll run with absolutely just thick as a box of rocks. So,
where are you from?
So you're
Montana.
Okay.
Yeah, Montana. Wow. How long have you been here in L.A.?
Oh, I've been here, geez, guys, probably 6 years.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
6 years, which I have not lost a lot of my Montana vernacular. Yeah. Maybe while you're asking me where I'm from. But.
Yeah. But and what brought you here?
Entertainment. Yeah, yeah. The record label that I'm signed to has offices here, also in the Northwest area in Seattle.
Really?
Yeah.
So what kind of music do you sing?
I do. It's an Americana stuff. It depends on what project. Honestly, if I'm doing my own music, it's an Americana rock, sort of Sheryl Crow meets John Cougar Mellencamp.
Uh-huh.
If I'm fronting Poke Jane, which was a band that I was with for years and years, it's more alternative rock.
Mm.
You know, I'm about 100 years too old to be playing alternative rock or whatever.
Really? Yeah. So are you the singer or do you play an instrument?
I'm the singer. I play lots of different instruments. And,
really?
Yeah.
Yeah, so pretty talented stuff.
I'd like to think so. Just don't let me balance your checkbook, man, and we're good.
Yeah, good. Well,
me either.
Artists are not meant to do these things, you know?
That's right. That's totally right. You're right there.
So what does a filmmaker do? Tell us about, obviously make film.
Yes.
But tell us a little bit about what you've been
Captain
doing.
Obvious.
Obviously they make film. No, it's, you know, I tell you, I make movies. I have been in more than I've made. Actually, and I'm leaving day after tomorrow to go back up to the Northwest for my CD release tour. My CD is called Red Lodge, and it just got released. We're releasing it on Friday,
in fact,
at the Knitting Factory down on Hollywood Boulevard on the front stage at 9:00 p.m. So
fun.
Tomorrow morning?
Tomorrow evening.
Oh, tomorrow evening. Yeah. I'm sorry.
It's okay. Musicians, don't spit before noon.
No, I know. I forget that.
I did it
before I got... That's
why
you couldn't find the place.
I'm telling you, it's a moron thing. Yeah. I'm not awake yet.
Yeah. Cool. So what are the movies about, the movies that you made?
Well, the one that I'm currently going to be shooting, we start principal photography on the 11th, and that is actually a documentary. It sounds boring, but it's not. on a very, very haunted location up in Washington that I'm keeping under wraps right now because it's actually never been covered before in any television or film.
Wow.
Really?
So it's really a fantastic opportunity to get up there, and I've got crews in 3 different states that are covering different aspects of this film. It's really exciting.
So it's like a haunted house type of thing or what?
Thank you.
A haunted house type of a thing? Is that what
it's a haunted location.
A haunted location.
Okay. Yes, and I shall leave it wide open.
That means the ghosts leave the house, and they go out, and they wander the yard. And
yeah, really, they go all over, man. Yeah. It's a place with a lot of history, a location with a lot of history. A lot of weird, awful things happened.
Right.
It's got some strange architecture that adds to the spirits that are trapped there. And so it's going to be
How does a spirit get trapped?
You know, I think if anybody really knew the actual answer to that, it's kind of like, what does God think about on Tuesday?
But not necessarily, because, I mean, if you claim that someone is, that a place is haunted and that there are spirits there, how do you know they're trapped? How do you know there's spirits there?
Well, they may not be trapped. Maybe they're just hanging out for fun. I don't know why.
Okay, but that's why I was asking.
But there are certain elements that tend to correspond scientifically with haunted areas.
Like what?
Water. If there's underneath the ground water sources, water conducts electricity. Mm-hmm. And for any sci-fi or paranormal geeks listening out there, if you actually get out there and ghost hunt, one of the tools you can use is an electromagnetic field reader. And it's something an electrician will use to detect problems in your wiring in your home.
Right.
Because disembodied spirits give off EMF fields.
Really?
So you can actually detect them. On meters. They also have different light signatures that flash. And as you guys know, I mean, you never want to drop your blow dryer in water because water conducts electricity. So if you have a lot of underground water sources, it tends to amplify that disembodied electromagnetic signature.
Wow.
Whoa.
What do you think of that, Susie?
That's kind of boring, but no, it's
not boring at all. We're talking about ghosts. I mean, how can that be boring?
But that was just like a mouthful. You're like the electron, but and so I was just like,
sorry.
No, I'm just a little slow today. So I'm like processing things like a little bit, like a step behind you.
Sister, I'm a step behind you. I was a late one today, so it's all good.
I'm late every day. Don't worry about it.
So you're going out of town, right?
Yes.
Where are you traveling to?
I'm going up to Seattle, and I've got a show in Seattle. I've got a show in Tacoma, and I've also got a show in Olympia.
Oh.
And then I head off to this location to start filming.
I see. And so do you have a band? When you say a show, you have a band that travels with you and stuff?
I do. Uh-huh. In this particular instance, the actual particular shows that I am going to be playing, I'm just playing solo with an acoustic guitar.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So
interesting stuff.
I do have a band, though, the Whiskey Road Show Band, in fact. And they are Pam Jacobs on drums and Rich Vicaro on bass. Mm-hmm. And they're going to be playing the Knitting Factory show with me here on Friday.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Rich Vicaro sounds familiar. Was that from Toto, by any chance?
No, but he wishes, man. Yeah. He wishes he
I
was
love
from Toto.
I know, but I think there was a couple of... the name was familiar. I don't know. Maybe it's not. But
well, he's, you know what? He's played with a lot of different people. He's played with a lot of studio folks. And so if you're a reader of the liner notes on the CD, you
I'm
may
not
have seen
really.
His name. Oh, okay then. Never mind.
But good musicians, obviously.
Yeah, they're great.
Do you... well, we don't really have time to play your music. I wish you'd... is there anything on MySpace we can listen to real quick?
Actually, there is on my MySpace page. I've got a MySpace music page.
Okay. So let me find that. I hope it's not too complicated.
No, it's not. It's just my name. It's just Danie.
Hang on.
Well, after, the fancy MySpace.com /
I don't like doing
all that good stuff.
What's the...
The MySpace thing is it's Danie. LLE.
Hang on a second. Danielle.
Technical difficulties.
That's okay. That's an underscore. Excuse me. I have two MySpace pages. You're correct. Danielle Agnew, all one word, all lowercase. EGNEW.
Okay. All right. So let's see. We're going to get some of Danielle's music here. Wow. That's a cool picture here, man.
Oh, thank you. That's what I look like with no clothes on.
Yeah. You wouldn't give us a demonstration right now, would you?
Well, no, I wouldn't want to.
How come I always get yelled at when I ask the male porn stars for a demonstration?
You don't get yelled.
You're always like, Susie. And you give me that look.
Excuse me, okay? You're the one who reached over to Tracy Bingham's boob and squeezed it. Don't come to me.
Was it just hanging out or was it waving at you or what?
It was like, mama.
Well, see, that you can't help that.
I know. You were just jealous that you didn't. Huh?
I was jealous, yeah. So let's go ahead and listen to Danielle's. This is called Erased. Danielle's song.
Because I believed you. Because I received you. Because I looked inside your soul and I really saw you. Because I gave you everything I'm made of. Is this how I've earned to be erased? Because I listened and I really heard you.
It's cool, but it kind of... it's kind of too relaxing for me right now. Do we have any upbeat songs?
Oh, here? Yeah. Let's see. What's it say next to it? Now, skip that one. That one's...
Okay, The Red
Door. I'm kind of glad you killed that one, because that's a real wrist slitter, man. And it's too early in the morning for that. I'm like, oh, God, okay, you erased me. I'm sad. Blah.
Yeah.
Let's see. Go down to one that's called Story of My Life.
Okay, I got Story of My Life. Let's listen to that. Danielle Agnew.
Yeehaw!
Nice shot, sister.
Nobody knows why I came. Nobody knows about the lion. Nobody here knows my name.
Did you compose the song?
I did. I played the mandolin on it and had a hootenanny.
This is really fun.
Thanks. I used to burn like a fire. I used to lick like a flame. Now I just run from desire. Cause I can't stand the weight underneath all of this shame.
I never would have guessed Montana.
Never, right? Sun comes up, the moon goes down. I wish I could switch that around.
That's cool.
Thank you.
Well, we're going to have to cut it short because we are totally out of time.
That's all right.
But Danielle, I mean, it's like you'll have to come back now.
I would love, now that I know where you guys are at.
Yeah.
This is awesome.
Did you have to come far?
I came, actually, I came over from Hollywood.
From Hollywood. So it's not too bad.
No, it wasn't too bad. Yeah. It was just a
And I'm glad you did give yourself about 20 minutes. I mean, so we did get to know. To know a little bit about
well,
you,
thank you
and stuff, but I'm sure there's a lot more to know. And so everybody go to myspace.com/Danielle Agnew. Now, do you have a website also? Is it
I do. As a matter of fact, it's okay. www.DanielleAgnew.com, and you can check out all the latest tour information where they're going to be releasing the record, all the latest film appearances and film screenings at that URL.
Wow, wow. You're multi-talented by all means.
Thank you.
And yeah, full of energy cool. this morning, I must
yeah,
say.
She is. Yeah.
Bless you guys. Thanks for having me, you guys. I'm sorry about the confusion, but it's just really great to see you, and it's great
no,
to
absolutely.
Have you.
No, absolutely.
And now that you know where we are, maybe you can come back.
There yeah. we go.
And
there
it
go.
Was good that you were able to come in, because first you were only going to call and stuff because you had to be on the road, but it's a cool thing you made it here. We're happy.
Well, I wanted to see your smiling faces,
there
you guys.
There you go. And you needed to wake Susie up because she was falling asleep here.
Right on.
Yes, I'm off to play with a 2-year-old now.
Okay.
Nice.
He will rejuvenate me. I have no fear in that.
No fear, huh?
Yes.
Okay, Danielle, thank you so much for joining us again.
Thank you.
And Susie, thank you so much for joining us.
Every day, Sam, every day.
Go get some sleep.
No sleep.
Okay, well, we have one more day and then it's the weekend, so you'll get to relax a little bit.
No, I got to go to Vegas. No relaxing.
Got to go to Vegas.
Yes, yes.
Okay, see, she doesn't stop, Danielle. She doesn't
Next
stop.
Year, I'll
That's
take a
good.
Nap.
Yeah.
Me too, man.
All right, everyone. This is Sam and Susie in the Morning.
Signing
off. And
we'll
see you tomorrow.